When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello! It's me, I'm back. Did you miss me? I mean, it's only been a week, or it's actually been just a couple days, you know, since we got the last show out. And you know what? This week, it's such a loaded week and some unexpected surprises that we're actually going to manage to get probably two shows out here that I'm going to try to release both before the Thanksgiving holiday. So if you need a little time with me, you know, I know you're disappointed I'm not going to be there at your Thanksgiving table with you, but now you can play an extra episode, a bonus episode there at the meal table. And it's just like I'm sitting there stuffing my face, having conversation with you. So enjoy when that comes out. So yes, two episodes this week because, you know, we had some big news kind of stuff drop, which I'm not really going to focus on news because we had a Destination D23 this week. I didn't really get a chance to pay attention to it. Wasn't that concerned with it. I had other things on my mind. In fact, I was feeling a little haunted. How about you, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Big time haunted.
A little bit haunted. So we had to bust some ghosts and, develop a little bit of an afterlife, I guess.
Right. We're not worried about the ghost of Christmas, this or that right now. We're still worrying with ghosts of busting such things of our past and of Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, I'm a little worried about the ghost of the turkey coming back to get his revenge on us for eating him.
You bet.
Goodness.
Oh, it was lousy. But that was one of the first things I'd seen on cable. It was really terrible. So they decided to, instead of have Halloween, they had Thanksgiving. And it was supposed to be on Good Friday or something like that. It was lousy. But, you know, as kids, we had so we had Black Friday instead of Good Friday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said Good Friday. That's a totally different holiday.
I apologize. Yeah, completely wrong Friday. Friday. Yeah. Anyway, so we had Black Friday. But anyway, it was on Thanksgiving that they decided to make this horrible film. We had a bad sense of humor, and yet we had a good time.
Yeah, I remember the opening shot was like the fully cooked turkey, and then the following shot suddenly it was nothing but turkey bones.
Yeah, I wasn't even there for that.
Okay.
I wasn't even in there for that, so I don't have to take credit for it, or should I say blame.
Yeah, and I remember there was one thing that just cracked me up where they were trying to pass a signal to have the killer jump from behind the side of the house to kill somebody, and they knock on the wall so we can hear that they're about to round the corner so he can jump out.
Oh, kids. Oh. But boy, we had so much fun back then with that camera. My grandma was so awesome because except for maybe trying to actually literally kill one another, she would nearly film anything for us. She really would. She was great that way.
I bet somewhere there's a whole collection of all your little movies somewhere on videotape.
Well, from what I understand, my brother and cousin and others are putting some of that stuff together to really, really hurt us and make us watch it.
Oh, man. Because you know what? That movie you made for me off of my old comic characters back when it was called The Ghost. You know, I don't have that tape anymore because I loaned it to somebody. And heck, that tape had not only that, but it also had Kung Fused, which is the movie I made in high school. Actually a class project. It had that tape had that on there, and I loaned it to a guy that when I was working at Worlds of Fun, and then he got fired, and I never saw him again. I lost the tape.
Oh man! Well, if I ever find some of that old stuff, we'll see if we can find. Because boy, oh boy, it's embarrassing.
It's funny though.
It's fun though. It's fun. It's fun. Embarrassing because you know, you hang your head, but at the same time, it also makes you bring back a lot of good memories too.
So like the movie we made, Supers, which I don't think we'll ever make a sequel to, which at one point I think we were going to, but I just don't have that kind of time anymore. And that's to do it right. would take a lot more equipment than I got.
The fun thing about it is now, because I'm bald, I have to be bald at this moment. It'd be great. I could play Lex and Superman.
Actually, I think you're going to be playing the Kingpin. Totally.
I could play Lex and Superman. I could be both. That'd be funny to see me do both. Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I could do that.
Well, you do have that plastic wig to make you look like Superman again. So
yes, that would be funny.
Oh, yes. So, of course, you're halfway bald by choice because you decided to just go ahead and shave your head. And after you were losing so much hair,
I had to.
Yeah.
That wasn't the actual reasoning. What happened in the hospital, they ripped some hair out. They ripped hair out by accident, and it's not growing back just yet. So, therefore, I was like, I can't. There's so many basically patches missing. And it's like, all right, that's it. It's either go with missing hair on different parts of you or just be bald. I had no choice.
It's like, all right, fine, bald.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I do have one thing I need to make sure I announce this Wednesday Encanto, but it's just Encanto or whatever. The new Disney movie opens Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it yet.
Encanto. Yeah, it looks good. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to be quarantined for the next couple of weeks. My wife may have COVID. She's been very sick. Y'all probably, we haven't had the bio-nerd Heather on in a long, long time, but she's been quite sick. And this morning announced to me that, you know what, I can't taste anything. So she's going to get checked tomorrow. So I am locking myself here, which means I can't get out to see the movie to do a review of it. So if anybody gets some thoughts on it, please feel free to send them podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. And I'll get out and get a chance to see it when it's safe for me to be amongst people again, just in case, you know. So the nice thing is I can work from home with my job, and I have been. I have all the software I need here at home. I got to retweak a few things at my work computer where I was logging in remotely, but the hard drive needed to be swapped out or whatever. There were some weird problems going on. The computer kept shutting itself off, which means I can't get in remotely if it shuts off. So tomorrow I'm going to have to call our IT guy and say, oh, well, here, you need admin rights in order to install the remote thing for Google. And then I'll be able to remotely get into that computer. But other than that, at least I have a laptop here that's a work laptop that I can actually access our servers and get to my files. And I can create some ads and edit video actually on my home computer as long as I can get to the files. So it's going to work itself out, and I'll be able to work for the next couple days before Thanksgiving. So, but you know,
I pray and hope that she doesn't have it. Right, pray and hope for that, and hopefully she doesn't.
Well, if she doesn't, then I will be in movie theaters on Wednesday to go watch Encanto. I think it's Encanto because it's like Enchanted, but it's
in
the Spanish language, I believe. So,
speaking of Enchanted,
we got a sequel coming.
Yes, thank goodness. I've been wanting that for a long time. What was it, Jeremy? Was it 2007, wasn't it, when the first one came?
I don't even remember. That was a long time ago.
It was 2007. I remember that now. That's right, 2007.
Yeah, and we discussed this last week. Well, actually, for the last couple of weeks, you haven't been able to be on with me. I've had to record these kind of on my own. I'm getting used to a new schedule, and I'm working full time again. And so if I don't record these things over the weekend, they just don't get recorded until like when I get a spare chance sometime. But I've been so messed up with the time change and also getting back to a normal schedule. Well, normal for the rest of y'all folks, where I get off work, but then I'm tired because I used to, I'd crash at 7 because I was getting up so early. Now, because of the time change, I was crashing at 6. So that's like getting off work at 5, eating something, and then collapsing.
So. Yes, and unfortunately, I like to join you, but usually I'm also a pastor, so sometimes I'm not able to, and also I've not the greatest health, so sometimes it interferes.
Yeah, so we're working that out, and I need to get Lost Boy Eric on, but ever since COVID, he's having to do a lot of overtime, and he's working so many extra hours that it's just on a weekday. It's difficult for him, and he has to have some time with his family on the weekend, so it can be difficult to coordinate, but we're working on that. Oh, but we are going to hear from Lost Boy Eric. In fact, he's got a review of Ghostbusters. He sent me some audio. He typed up a very cool little story on Facebook, and I says, can you record that and send that to me? And he did. So we do have a little bit of audio from Lost Boy Eric to hear about his thoughts on Ghostbusters. But before we start discussing some memories of Ghostbusters in our review, and I already mentioned there will be no news, and I didn't grab any new trailers this week because we've golly, the last couple of shows has been a trailer mess. It's just been nothing but trailers.
A trailer park.
it has been. We've been hanging out in that trailer park so much that I think I've lost a couple more of my front teeth. So
it was a trailer storm.
It was a trailer. Yeah, we about done darn lost the whole thing in a fall tornado. So, all right. Hopefully, I'm not offending some of you people who are living that. You know, we're just teasing.
Yes.
I got to make fun of my Missouri, yes, because we got Missouri, depending upon where you're at. If you go south of the river, you might find people with a completely different accent than what we got up here and up north in Missouri. Yeah,
that's true.
I got relatives that talk. In fact, that reminds me. Oh, goodness sakes. I keep forgetting to record these stories for there's a podcast called That Story Show, and we've had, of course, one of their main hosts on there, James Kennison, on, and I've been on his show. He's been over here, but I've got some stories. I told him one of these stories of some stuff that happened to me down in Lebanon, which I will be recording and sending in to him. But that's, you go to Lebanon and you'll find out how much the Missouri Southern accents, how bad it is, because I had some family live down in it. I got some stories I'ma tell, and it will be on his podcast. So, you know, make sure you listen to that show because it's, you need a good funny laugh. Where was I going before I got on this tangent? Let's see. Oh, that's right. Host Chatter. I didn't even pull up my show notes because I'm like, you know what? This entire show is just going to be Ghostbusters fun. But of course, it's always fun to talk about what are you watching? What are you playing? I don't know if I had anything particular that I was watching this week. Other than the Tell You Later, it's kind of, I guess you call it a podcast, Tell You Later. I may have mentioned this before. It's on YouTube. This is where Katie Lee and Will Ryan, which we've had both on the show. And by the way, that's going to be why we have a special episode, because Will Ryan unfortunately passed away after a bout with cancer. And we're going to talk about that in another episode. There's so much to talk about with that and so much to share. I thought, you know what? I can make an entire episode of that. But they've done a show together for the past year or more. And it's just a delight to watch. And so, you know what? I after hearing of Will's passing, I just started watching, you know, all the ones. I haven't seen every single one of them yet and everything because I got busy with things. But it's been just nice to watch those. And I mean, Will was okay. Well, I'll save it for the next one. You know, Will was just such a great talent and everything. But so that's kind of what I've been watching. Have you been watching anything special other than, of course, the movie we're going to review?
Well, yeah, in a sense. And it does connect with the film. But my nephew, who's out seeing the film right now, actually, as we're speaking, my nephew had never, he's always heard, he loves the 80s, by the way, which he's so much like me. He's like another version of me. I love him so much. He's a great kid. But anyway, what's kind of sound arrogant in a way that I said that. Anyhow, he has heard a lot about the Ghostbusters. He even dressed as Ghostbusters a year or two ago, but has never seen any of it. Has always been curious of it. Been likes the song because it's 80s, you know. But he was always curious of it and assumed he wouldn't be able to see the new film. So he was not ever seen it and thought he might not be able to, and was worried about seeing any of it because he figured since he wasn't going to see a new film. Well, his father decided to take him tonight, but he wasn't going to be able to if he hadn't seen seen the other film. So I decided this weekend while he was staying over here that I would show him both one and two and some of the cartoons and play the video game from 2011 with him. And he got through most of it and enjoyed it immensely. So much so, Jeremy, you'll like this. Back in 1985, it was 84 going into 85. Mom, I got to see the film on video or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But anyhow, the year my father had a little pin like one that you wear. And it was my father had it and let me borrow it for a while. And some kid broke it, I thought, for a time. And I was heartbroken. My father was able to fix it. And he didn't tell me for a long time. And he gave it to me before he left this world. And today I gave it to my nephew, Freddie. and said, from one Fred to another, and gave it to him, and he put it on. He said, I'll take care of it till the day I die. He's such a sweetheart.
What's
and
the
he
pin
said,
of?
He's loaded. The Ghostbuster symbol from 1980, from 1984. I mean, it's that old. You can tell it's aged, you know, how it kind of goes kind of a yellowish, you know, tint to it.
Yeah.
But to me, it means a lot because of my dad. But I thought, you know what? I never wear it and I only have it for, I thought I'm going to give it to him. Let him know that it came from his grandpa. Because unfortunately, my dad died before Freddie was born. So, and Freddie's named after him. So I thought, well, you know, and it's, so he said he's going to wear it when he goes to the movies tonight. You know, so I thought, how sweet. So that to me, this kind of stuff, I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that I could just hang on to forever. I love having special times with the little ones, doing that, you know, family type of things, especially, I don't know, because he does remind me so much of me. He was even playing with some of the old toys of the real Ghostbusters and all that. And he was actually hanging on to some of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man toy I have over there. And he was loving it. He goes, man, I wish I could have been a kid when you was a kid. He goes, we would have so much fun. He said, he goes, I love the Ghostbusters. He goes, I hate that I hadn't been able to enjoy it with you all this time. But anyway, I'm glad to get to share all that.
Yeah. We're basically almost, you're hopping us into our topical stuff. So, so the other thing I know you've been playing, other than I guess the Ghostbusters game, which you need to complete, the Call of Duty Vanguard. I figured we got to play that, and which that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
You want me to share a little of that?
Well, I guess we could give a quick review. I mean, you already kind of shared a lot of what you were playing, you know.
But. Yeah, well, I've been playing some. One of the things I really enjoy about that game, besides the fact that it's for PS5, and it, I mean, to tell you the noise of it, by that I mean the sound effects, you can hear far from in the background. And I'm telling you now, look, I mean, you can hear people like making echoes and stuff or bullets and bombs stuff going off. So it almost sounds like it's going around you. And I don't have speakers behind me, but because it's going off in your controller, in the control of it, you know, you can feel it and hear it going off behind you. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And I guess you could say it wasn't stupid. It was kind of neat, but I stupidly or whatever had the lights off down here while I was playing it. And I felt like I'd hear, they were looking for me in this building, and I could hear, he's around here. And I could hear the Germans looking for me. And I was scared to death. I was terrified. I was like getting really nervous. I thought like, they're going to get me.
They're coming for you.
You talk about really feeling it. You can feel like, so I could hear the bullets buzzing near my ear. And I mean, you really feel it. And I love it. It's a tremendous game. And the graphics are awesome. I love every level is wonderful. Every single time you can get a new battleground. Oh, I just love it. I adore it.
Yeah, I actually played something that's kind of special this week. I've been playing through the Uncharted games again. But I had heard a while back, but I waited until this week to play it. But there's a game for the PS4, and I don't know if PS5 probably, you know, can still play it, but it's In Dreams. Now, this, if you happen to be somebody who was playing like Disney Infinity and you enjoyed building games, and this game would be something for you because it's basically people are creating games, which I haven't tried to make anything. It's very kind of complex, and I haven't really gotten into it. I've just basically sampled what some other people made. But Sony actually got some people to make a Ghostbusters Afterlife game. And if you go actually to the YouTube channel, which is the Neverland Gaming Official channel or Neverland Official Gaming channel, one of those like that. If you put in the words Neverland Official and Gaming, you'll find the channel. But I sat down and I played that on In Dreams, and it's there's not a lot to it. You're basically just kind of standing in a room and you can move around your proton blaster there. And you're trying to catch munchers as they, you know, one at a time, a muncher will pop up. And every time you snag one, a trap will pop open. You got to try to drag him over and put him in the trap. And then little marshmallow mini puffs will be popping out. And you kind of shoot them. And then a terror dog will sneak in the sides. And it's basically like a little shooting gallery. It was fun. I played with that a little bit. And you can find the video of me playing that over on the YouTube channel. There's something else I started playing with. What was it?
Now, that's the game I bought a week ago and haven't got to play it, but Dreams.
Oh, you went and got a copy now?
I did. Now, I haven't got to do anything with it because I don't know what I'm doing. I might actually have to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, it's confusing. It really is.
But I'm going to learn how because it looks fun. And go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
The other thing is right now on the PS shopping network, whatever you want to call it, you know, where you buy digital copies, they started their Black Friday sales already. And there's a lot of stuff on sale. And something that recently came up for grabs. Now, I already had the Skyrim special edition. But they've recently now put out an anniversary edition because, believe it or not, that game, what is it? Did they say 10 years? Seriously? I'm like,
really?
I think 10 years of Skyrim, which, you know, it still holds up. But they put out an anniversary edition. And if you had the special edition, for just a small additional fee, you could get the upgrades to the anniversary edition. And
it was part of a Black Friday sale.
Yeah, it was part of a Black Friday thing. So I went ahead and done that. So I started actually yesterday sitting down, and I got a story on this one. That's why I got to talk about this. So I sat down to play some Skyrim, and now I have completed the main story. And I went, I learned all the fun tricks of where if you get good at the right alchemy, you can start making items that will boost your stats when you're fixing up your weapons and stuff in your armor. So, I mean, I've got armor that I wear that I can pick any lock. I can pick any pocket. I can never die. I mean, and I got a sword that kills everything in one hit. I got a bow that kills everything in one hit. I am He-Man. Okay.
I thought you were Goonie because Goonies never say die.
Well, I can say die. I did actually, there's a black book thing that you can collect these black books that something went wrong and I was actually defeated in there. I don't know what went wrong. But here's what's funny. So I've completed the main story and I have this new Lakeview Manor, I think it's called. I've got my house and it's all fixed up and I have two adopted daughters that live there and a wife that stays in there. Well, I went in there to check in on the house. And my wife is missing. Now, right before I noticed my wife is missing, I've got a house Carl there that's been assigned to me because you become a thane in a lot of different towns that you visit when you help out the Jarls. The Jarls are pretty much like the kind of king of town type of person. And they'll assign somebody to that is like your guard and your servant. Well, the guard, I go to my house and the guard goes and I hear them fighting with somebody and they've killed a bandit. And I'm like, oh, OK, well, I don't think anything of it. I don't even check the body for anything. So, okay, you killed a bandit. But I go looking around the house and I can't find my wife, but there's my two kids. I'm like, well, where's your mother? And I start, you know, checking around. I go to the, because I married a character, Lydia, who's actually one of your guards that you get in the town of Whiterun. I went to go check the house that I had back there. She's not there. I go check in the main area, the Dragonreach there in Whiterun. Not there. And I'm looking online. It's like, well, normally if you lose track of your person who is like, who had been your servant or whatever before, and I married one of them, they go back to a default place. She wasn't in any of those places. But then I saw, and I didn't think anything of it. Somebody had mentioned, like, hey, you know, your wife can actually get kidnapped by bandits, and they'll drop off a ransom note. Well, I hadn't seen any ransom notes, so I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe there's a glitch. Maybe something went wrong with the anniversary edition. So I go on about my business, and I'm playing through some side quests and stuff that I hadn't done. But then I thought, well, wait a minute. There was that bandit that showed up and was killed, that I never got a note from. I go back to the house, and I find the body of the bandit is still there. I check the body, and there's a ransom note on their body. And I look at it, says, we have your wife. Go to this location with 500, you know, whoa, gold pieces. And so what's funny is none of the characters, none of my enemies seem to realize that I'm He-Man now, and I'm invincible. I can jump off a mountain and barely get a scratch on me now with the armor that I've made for myself. So I show up the bandit thing and they come out like, well, glad to see you've listened to reason. Have you brought the money? And one of the options were like, you won't be able to enjoy the money after I kill you. And they're like, oh, is that the way it's going to be? I'm like, yes, that's the way it's going to be. And the cool thing about Skyrim is if you do like an insta kill, you'll get like a finishing maneuver. And so basically I grabbed the lead bandit that had kidnapped my wife by the head and shoved a sword through it. I was like, that's what you get for kidnapping my wife.
He-Man is usually not like that in the cartoon, but man, mess with He-Man, you ask for it.
But it was nice to know I went and go to free my wife, and it was just fine. She's like, I knew you'd come for me. It's like, well, I'm sorry it took me so long, but I didn't realize you'd been kidnapped, you know, so.
Hey, that's a segue. Speaking of which, the news part of He-Man's coming on Netflix.
Yes, Revelation, which, do you have a date on that, by the way?
I think they said the 27th. I can't see because I'm on the phone. I can't look it up, but I believe it's the 27th, isn't it?
I don't know. All I know is it's coming up very soon, and of course we'll talk about it when it comes out.
I believe it's the end of the week. Yes, okay, but said that. It's on. Yeah.
Yes. Groovy. And I'm looking forward to Revelation, the next part. Oh, indeed.
Yes, me too.
All righty. But so that's normally after now we've gone through what we've kind of been watching, what we've been playing, we would jump into a news segment or a trailer segment. But before we get into a review, We're going to talk about some memories, and Eric's memory I'll save for when we get to review, because he shares some great memories, but he also reviews the new film and shares what his thoughts on it are. So we're just going to transition into talking about the our memories of the film franchise of Ghostbusters and all the different fun. And heck, I remember like before the movie came out, the Ray Parker Jr. music video was on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
And watching that thing, like, oh, this is so cool. And they had all these different people that I recognized, some of the celebrities that popped up that go, Ghostbusters. And yeah, just that tune just got in my head. Now, the funny part, of course, about that tune is initially they had spoken with Huey Lewis. Mm-hmm. To do a theme, and he refused. And so they went to Ray Parker Jr. and says, well, you know, we want something that sounds kind of Huey Lewis. And Ray Parker Jr., if you listen, he kind of ripped off I Want a New Drug.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. In fact, there was a lawsuit over it, and they did have to settle. You're basically, if you listen to the bass line, it's I Want a New Drug. But of course, it's original lyrics and everything, but it's so catchy. It's just a good little tune.
And to tie it into Disney a little bit, like you used to do, there was somewhat of a Disney lawsuit, if you remember right, with Ghostbusters, all because of the Mickey Mouse situation. You remember?
I have no idea what in the world you're talking about.
There was a lawsuit originally way back when. You have to look this up. There was a lawsuit originally because of the whole "we ain't scared of no ghost."
"We ain't scared of." I ain't, well, no, he didn't even say "we." So "I ain't scared of no ghost."
Yeah, that's what. Anyway,
so that, they were saying "we ain't afraid of no ghost." They were trying to say,
yeah, that was back in the day. Back in the day, there was a lawsuit thing about that originally.
Oh goodness!
Because they were Ghostbusters, Mickey and them.
They were, well, they were ghost chasers, I believe. Is that what they call it? The Ajax ghost chasers, ghost exterminators, ghost
investigator. Yeah. But they pretty much had come up with that whole thing. So that was, there was originally a lawsuit back in the '80s about it. I remember watching on the news about that.
I wonder if they went after Filmation when Filmation came up with their Ghostbusters concept, that they had the live action show originally.
That was in the '70s. And mm-hmm. then in the, they had that cartoon in 1986, and that's exact same.
Because they were like, "Hey, you know what? We own this
time."
Name.
Yeah, by a short time, we're talking months or two. They had come up with that copyright for Ghostbusters, the cartoon, and then the people of Columbia or whatever it was, who had the rights to the Ghostbusters we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, they're like, we were going to come up with a cartoon. So they came up instead with the real Ghostbusters. It's really ingenious.
It was almost a poke in the eye. Yeah, well, we're the real Ghostbusters.
It was ingenious. Ooh. You know. But I gotta be honest with you, I was watching both cartoons this weekend, because I showed my nephew the other one too, and he liked the beginning of it, because Filmation was honestly the better animation.
Yeah,
but at the same time, story wise, you know, we got to go back to our boys. Yeah. You know, and I'll probably have to draw a picture of it. I would always wish they had done a comic book or something of the Ghostbusters, you know, Filmations and the real Ghostbusters together. That'd been so much fun. Nowadays I'm talking, that'd be so much fun.
It'd be so incompatible though, that it just wouldn't work. It's entirely incompatible.
Hey, if they can make a comic book of Lion-O and He-Man getting together,
but that's compatible. Those two different planet things. I mean, you can make that work, but when you consider, like,
happen.
When you've got Ghostbusters, the Filmation, where they have this weird thing that they can disperse a ghost like poof. And then in Ghostbusters, where you have to capture and trap a ghost. I mean, it's really the other ghost, when you get into that cartoon with that Filmation, where they had that goofy thing where they drop their own and put themselves like in a spider web and have the suit drop, all this ridiculous, you know, sequence they would do to before they got into that car with a gorilla that was wearing a hat and smart enough to help bust ghosts. I mean, that's like, you got Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I was about to say, that's like putting Bugs Bunny in there, because you've got a ridiculous cartoon character with a somewhat realistic cartoon character. But you know what? They did Roger Rabbit, and you got, you know, an excuse. But yeah,
once you get in the cartoon world, you can make things happen.
You cheat things to work. Here's one that's based on some sort of, you know, spiritualism that Dan Aykroyd was into, and here is whatever the heck they were thinking was the basis for the other.
It was kind of just a weird cartoony thing, but it was fun. Yeah. Anyway, but you had that weird thing going on. But back to the
I also want to back up. We haven't gotten to where the movie even came out.
Yeah,
you jumped 2 years in the future on me.
I did. Go back to the movie.
Let's go back now, because I remember the first time I saw it. I think it might have been the opening weekend. We went to the drive-in, and I don't remember what was playing with it at all. I don't remember, but we went to the drive-in to watch Ghostbusters. And
awesome.
It was weird, the concept of capturing and trapping ghosts, because I thought they were going to have these crazy lasers, and they were literally going to bust ghosts, like the ghosts were gonna.
You're taking the literal form.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be Star Wars ish in the, you know, with the blasters. You know, they were gonna blast the bunch of ghosts, and you know, it was gonna be like an action thing. And it was completely different from what I expected, and it was kind of mind blowing. Like, well, this is kind of cool. So
that's awesome. I must admit, I was late coming to it. Not in the sense that I heard about it. You know, usually as a kid, I'd hear about a lot of things, and I'd follow from hearsay, because the kids at school would tell you everything. They show you the books, and you read along.
Yeah.
My cousins would tell me everything before you see it.
They'd spoil Empire Strikes Back for you.
Oh yeah. But in this case, I didn't mind, cause I wanted to see it. But my dad being a pastor, you know, you kind of in this situation, cause you already with a spiritual thing in this sense, he didn't know what to expect. Plus he heard there were some sexual things, and there was, I mean, you know, so he had to be very careful, because it came from off the minds of people from Saturday Night Live, which that's not what you call a moral thing in that sense. So he had to be careful. So
but it was when Saturday Night Live was actually funny. So
yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Absolutely. And good too, by the way. This is not a moral lecture, incidentally. I'm saying he had to be careful. So therefore, going to the movies was expensive when you have, you know, four kids and five, if one of them's home with you, another one's home. Anyway, so we had and the two adults. So we had a lot to be careful with. So whenever at this point, we now had a VCR 1985, it came out on the, you know, it was brand new stuff, because now we had this thing called being able to rent. And that was all brand new. Now we could rent, and we rented Ghostbusters, and my father, and then they had just discovered that we could rent it and watch it, and we did. And so he tells us, don't ever repeat this, and don't, now be careful with that and this. And then at this time, it was before they had tried to make it illegal. They hadn't said anything about this yet, where you could hook up two VCRs and try to record it.
It was always illegal.
Yes, but to record it and sell it, they hadn't had, what I'm saying is they didn't have the warning on there yet. They hadn't done all that yet.
I don't think they realized people were going to pull that and steal movies.
So what we would do is we'd watch it, but my grandma, being the sweetheart that she was, my grandma had made it to where we could watch it without the words. I was talking about the curse words.
She but edited it out.
Tried. God bless her sweet soul. She tried.
Oh,
it was
wow.
almost impossible to watch it, because my grandma had only seen it once. And so every time she thought there was going to be a word, and I'd seen this once. Every time she thought there was going to be a word, she would hit pause. You remember those little wires? They were long wires, not even that long wires. And you'd hit pause. Well, they would not even say anything, but because she thought that they might. So it was like, and then you'd miss like a half a minute, and then you're back. So for my first, how many years, I don't know, of Ghostbusters, let's say 3 or 4 or 5 years of watching Ghostbusters, I didn't know every word of it, which is fine. I don't care about the curse word stuff. I don't want that. But at the same time, I didn't even know all the stuff that they were talking about, because my grandma, God bless her. Take us out.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
I appreciate the sentiment, but boy.
We actually had a videotape of it. Now, what's funny and weird about me, I'd watched it all the time when I had the VHS of it, but I'd even, you know, just for giggles, because I love the effects were just amazing and mind blowing. I would sit there and watch and repeat the whole capture of Slimer multiple times. I would just watch that scene, because that was amazing. I watched that part over and over and over again.
My favorite. When we finally did get it later on, I bought it. It was the first one to get the full thing. I bought it, of course, you know, I'm nuts over it. But this after I was huge into the cartoon and all. But I love my favorite parts over and over again, as you just said.
I grew up pretty darn poor, so I had a wiffle ball bat that was my my proton blaster. We'd go around and we'd bust ghosts, me and Jim next door.
I
actually
remember
Nick,
you
man.
Doing that.
Heck
I remember
yeah,
you
man.
Doing that. And I remember being excited, because in 1988...
Well, let's not get to the second movie yet.
I'm sorry.
We kind of mentioned the cartoons, but I know it's slow down, pump the brakes just a bit. You know, we're still talking cartoons.
Pump, pump, pump.
So, but yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, so I mean, but now I forgot my train of thought altogether.
But, we're talking about the movie, yeah. The original movie coming out.
Yeah, original movie, and of course, you know, watching it, of course, multiple times. Toys, but yeah, I want to get in there because, like, what of course with the cartoon, and I remember being super excited when they had that cartoon. When I first heard about a cartoon, it was on syndication, and I was like, oh, there's a Ghostbusters. I heard an ad for Ghostbusters. I was like, the logo doesn't look right. What is this? But then I sat and I watched, and it was the Filmation Ghostbusters cartoon. I was like, what is this?
Yes.
And I never got into that cartoon because, like, this is not the Ghostbusters that I love. What is this garbage?
I got into it eventually, but it came out at the same time. You know, I was 10. I was in fifth grade. I liked it because the animation. I liked
the animation was great.
And I love, one thing I love about Filmation, they're so smart in is whether it be He-Man or there be Fat Albert, whatever, the parts they're going to see the most, the beginning part and the part where something's changing over, they took their time with that animation. The rest of it, not so much, but the parts that really, really mattered, that they knew that there was their, let's say, dollar animation, what they knew there was their moneymaker animation, they took their time with it to make it look almost Disney-like. And with Filmation, with Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters was no exception, because the hairstyle, for instance, the main guy on there had that yellow hair. Mm-hmm. It almost looked like Ariel's hairdo in a sense in the front of it, you know, and it looked like the style of it was almost 1940s looking, the way they dressed and their car talked.
Oh yeah. And, I think I remember that too.
Yeah. Cause he in front of him was the logo.
Right. And their ghost and logo around. Thing would move. And yeah. And
he almost had a chitty chitty bang bang way of doing things. Like, he would turn into like a missile launching thing.
And yeah.
He would fly, and then he was a chitty chitty bang bang is what he was. And then they had Ace the whatever he was, Ape Gorilla, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But it was fun. Yeah. It was just goofy.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't the real Ghostbusters.
I don't think I started to appreciate until like later in adult, years here when they had the Kubo channel, when they started, they had the rights for Filmation and they would show He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and She-Ra and Ghostbusters and Brave Star. But I was like, okay, well, let's watch this Ghostbusters Star. There. And I was like, you know, this actually is kind of silly and fun, but I still don't like it as much as because I remember, you know, after seeing that, then seeing, you know, when the new Saturday morning shows were coming up in the fall, you'd have that Friday night where they'd have the special of all the different stuff. And that's what got me excited. It's like, here's the Ghostbusters I've been wanting to see. It's going to be on Saturday morning. And I remember being super excited and watching that cartoon. Excited. Oh,
that was another one. Deke made a lot of great fun shows, but
all over the 80s. My goodness.
Their animation, the late 80s, especially their animation was not good. But they were also smart in their beginning of their shows were great. They knew how to make their money count because they knew that you would see the beginning of, for instance, Inspector Gadget, the beginning animation of the first, that really great, except for the parts that were from the show itself.
Yeah.
That was not so great. That's not to say it's bad animation or bad drawing. It's just that it's not that real fine, really well crafted.
Yeah. Well, it's the difference between the cinematic animation versus the mass produced. We have to get an episode out for television. The Hanna-Barbera was the masters of being able to quickly do the animation to get it up for TV cutter. Show.
Yeah, that real cookie cutter, as I call it, you know, quick. You got to get it done quick. You have no choice.
Yeah. So you don't do quite as many frames.
That's it. You know, but that drawing style, you know, was so good on some of them. Then with Deke, they had to do so fast and it was so quick. It wasn't all that great. But I got to tell you, the other problem I had with when they brought it out, talking about the real Ghostbusters, I remember some of the posters they had where it showed they're trying to get Slimer. I, to this day, can see it. They're trying to get Slimer, and one of them was on the front of Ecto-1. And I want to say it's Peter, but I just remember I loved the style and the way the light was shining off of them. But I remember thinking, this doesn't look anything like them on the movie.
Yeah.
And I remember, except, And I remember thinking, although that does kind of look like, except he didn't have the mustache, that does kind of look like that guy. And I remember it was the name I thought at the time of that cigarette, Winston. and I guess all I can remember about him, except that I remember him being an African-American, and I could tell that, but that was it. But from this picture, you couldn't tell that the color of their outfits had changed.
Yeah. They completely redesigned all the characters and the colors and everything.
They were smart enough in this one because it's kind of in the dark, except for the kind of glowing thing that was smart. So then when they finally brought it out, I was like, they don't look anything like them. Well, I didn't know anything about the rights to them.
Yeah,
likeness. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that. But they made it work somehow.
Yeah. And I love the way that they joked about how they made a movie about us.
Yeah,
like the movie was a thing that existed in their world.
And episode 11 or what it was brilliant because, I mean, in some ways it should have been episode one. But
yeah, where they recount what happened with their uniforms coming to life and stuff. And also how they meet Slimer and the Slimer joins them.
Yeah,
which was a novel idea. I mean, to take, you know, the first you know, villain or whatever that they catch and actually turn it into, you know, made him a cutesy cartoon character, you know.
Because he got away at the end of the movie. And I remember at the end of the movie, I kept saying to myself, well, of course.
Not even at the end. He was released everybody else when they shut down the containment unit. But you got that last shot where you see he's still around. But
at the end of the movie, or whatever you want to call it, the end of the frame.
He slimes the viewers.
Yeah, he slimes the viewers. And we're like, oh, there's going to be another one, we said. Because that's how you was as a kid. You always got this idea, they're going to bring out another one. Well, I love it that me being the genius that no one else was, I was like, oh, that's why they had him in cartoon, or that's why he was there, because they had a plan the whole time. Well, you know, yeah, that's right. That's what it
sure,
was.
That's our logic.
Yeah, I knew it all.
They made Slimer a lovable character, and
yes,
I forgot somebody. I should look this up.
Was that Howie Mandel who did that?
I was about to look that up. Hang on just a second, because
I know there's some great voices.
I know you had Arsenio Hall was Winston. And originally you started,
he was great.
Dave Coulier eventually took over as Peter Venkman, but originally you had the voice of Garfield, and I can't think of it.
Yes. And he was great.
I'm going to look it up because my brain is,
not to diss Dave Coulier.
But he just wasn't
the same.
I never
liked him. Yeah. I didn't like him.
Okay.
Here we go.
So Lorenzo Music. There we go.
Yes.
Frank Welker. Of course, Frank Welker's, you know, everything. Dr. Raymond does Raymond Stantz. Maurice LaMarche as Egon, which Maurice LaMarche, he's always going to be the brain to me.
Yes.
You had Laura Summer as Janine Melnitz. Also, Kath Soucie as Janine Melnitz on 59 episodes.
Yeah.
She took over the role. I didn't realize that she had ever swapped her out. They were the main ones. But there's Charlie Adler's name on here. Katie Lee as Jason was a little kid, I guess. I think I remember that episode. I mean, just lots of voices actually participated in this one, but yeah, that's, you know, Lorenzo Music as Dr. Peter Venkman. I mean, if you're going to get somebody, this is what's funny. If you're going to get somebody who's going to try to replicate Bill Murray, it's kind of cool to get Lorenzo Music because he's got that dry style, but then it's so funny to me that Bill Murray then turned the tables and is the voice of Garfield in the movies.
Not just that, well, because he passed on music,
right?
And how brilliant! I thought that was brilliant. You know that they had that. I was like, that's awesome that they did it where he ended up being Garfield. And it's perfect. It's on both ends. It's perfect. I remember the first time I saw it, and I could hear Garfield. I was like, hey, it's Garfield. I'm like, that's perfect, absolutely perfect, because that is so Bill Murray in so many ways.
It is very Bill Murray. That dry wit.
Uh huh. I don't want to say lazy because he's not lazy, but that kind of on a whole nother level that you just don't get.
Yeah, indeed. But yeah, I remember that show helped carry us through until finally. And I remember I think we were at the drive-in again. Yeah, at the drive-in. And I remember seeing, you know, they had this building there with these stairs, and as there's wind is blowing across, and a taxi pulls up. And a woman gets out and she starts going up the stairs. She turns and you see it's Sigourney Weaver. And I'm like, oh, hey. And then they showed pink slime coming down the building as she went inside the building. And then it's like Ghostbusters 2. I was like, oh my gosh, here it comes. Bubs, you know. I remember just getting so excited because I had no idea that this was coming, that they had worked on it, because back in the day, you didn't have the internet and all this, you know, the information, unless you're old enough and you're reading magazines and they're talking about, you know, the latest things coming out. And then, you know, I was a kid at the time. I mean, I was 10 years, well, a little over 10 years old now, when being about 12 when the movie came out.
I heard rumors, but rumors back then meant someone was in the lunch line.
Well, yeah, yeah. Heck, I end up getting a lot of rumor stuff started because Stan Lee would always be talking in the Marvel bullpens about all the different Marvel movies that he was in talks to get going, which he didn't succeed in a lot of stuff. But I was like, oh, well, they're planning an X-Men movie at this time and a Fantastic Four movie at this time. And there's a Spider-Man movie coming at this time. And then, you know, 10 years later, we got a Spider-Man movie, you know.
Yeah. He's brilliant, though, because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew what he was in.
He got us all talking rumors and everything. So, yeah, it's like the Batman 89. I was like, I had heard something about there might be one, but then I didn't know anything was happening until I saw that first commercial. But yeah, I remember Ghostbusters 2, seeing that teaser there, and it was mainly just showing it basically showed Sigourney Weaver going into, of course, the museum, and that little clip of scene, and then it followed up with all of them coming and sucking the Gus guys who were the Ghostbusters. Yeah. And, you know, I was flipping the heck out, man. Just so excited for that. But I didn't get a chance to actually see that one until it was in the dollar theater. You know, kids, ask your parents. You know, it was on the discount theater for $1. And the funny thing is, Karate Kid Part 3 came out at a similar time. I went into one theater to watch Ghostbusters 2. The rest of my family went in to watch Karate Kid 3.
I think you got the better deal.
I did get the better deal. Big time. Yeah. My goodness. Now, did you get to see Ghostbusters 2 in a theater then, or did you?
I did.
Okay.
I did. You know, it was still, I'm trying to remember if it was a dollar one. It probably was a dollar one.
The one over there next to Kmart, right?
Yeah. Shoto.
Yeah, the Shoto.
Shoto Dollar Theater.
Yep.
My father loved that theater for several reasons. I don't want to use the word cheap here. My father was very good at saving. He's very frugal.
Yeah.
Frugal Fred. He was very good at saving money. But one of the reasons why he loved it was because we could go to the theater a lot that way.
Yeah.
And you never know if you're going to like a movie. So with him, he's like, you just wait a little while. And back then, that was the way it was, depending on how big the film was. And in that case, we did see it there quite a bit. But I don't remember if I waited till then. I may have seen it at the theater. I might have gone with my aunt and then seen it first, but I don't remember that. I just know for a fact. Oh, no, I remember now. I did go with my father to see Ghostbusters 2 because he knew I was dying to see it. And but that being said, I will say the reason why I didn't see it at the big theater was because of a choice of the family. We didn't choose that. We chose to see, for I guess my second or third term, whatever it was, to see Batman. Mm. And so that's the reason why I didn't see it at the big theater. However, I loved Ghostbusters 2, and I did see it at least twice at the theater, at the Dollar Theater. But I was thrilled to see it, and I loved it. And one of the things I got to give credit to the people, Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, was they kind of had an interesting battle making that second movie. Because it's odd as it is, their big battle that they didn't have in the first one was the cartoon, The Real Ghostbusters. In an odd way, The Real Ghostbusters was what kept Ghostbusters alive.
Yeah.
And in a real weird way, The Real Ghostbusters was what was difficult for them, because there's no way to compete with them, and yet there's no way that they can be them. So by the time the littler kids, who weren't really there for that first movie, they're like, wait, this isn't like the cartoon if the beginning, we're like, wait, this cartoon's not like that movie. So it was bizarre. So that's where I thought that they did a great job in a way, because the odd thing is, when you go to see that film, and I'm not ruining the film, I'm sure by now you all seen it, but they made that movie to where, you know, during the cartoon, the Ghostbusters are great, but by the time the second movie starts, oh, for the last 5 years, we've been out of the job. And we're like, what? Yeah. What?
We've been watching the cartoon. Doesn't the cartoon matter? Nope, not canon.
No, it's not canon, which we didn't know what that meant at the time.
Yeah.
That didn't really, now that's a common statement or whatever. Right. But back then, that wasn't the way it was. Back then, everything that had something's name, you know, stamped on it, went together pretty much.
Yeah.
So we thought.
Yeah, that's the way our brains work. But, you know, my weird story about seeing that, though, in the theater is, okay, my family goes to Karate Kid 3. I go to Ghostbusters 2. I was the only one in that theater.
Alone?
all by myself. And the weird thing is Ghostbusters 2 actually has a good creepy moment. I mean, it's funny a little bit when they're down in the subway.
Yes.
And you have that whole scene, but all of a sudden we have all these heads on pikes and that suddenly pop up. Oh, that was freaky, dude. And I was a little, whoa, yeah. You know, by myself. And I was like, well, that's a little creepy. And I was with Winston and he's going, what about the packs? What about the packs? I was like, yeah, Winston, go get your packs. Come on. There's some serious crap in here.
I just love Ernie Hudson, man. Yes, he is indeed. So great. And I'm sure everybody knows this, but not because I happen to like Eddie Murphy a lot. But
yeah.
I am so glad that he didn't end up being in the films, because that's what made me an Ernie Hudson fan. And anytime I see Ernie Hudson on anything, I'm like, oh, I'm watching it. I'm not kidding. Anytime, I love Ernie Hudson.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen him in The Crow. There was a short-lived TV series, only one season, 10-8, that he was on that I really enjoyed. And
I saw him in a couple movies the other day that I was like, oh, I'm not kidding you. I stopped what I was going to do just because I saw he was on it. I watched it because I love Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
I relate with, oh, you remember he was on The Cowboy Way. He played a cop on there, on The Cowboy Way.
Well, he always seems to play a cop or somebody in uniform. He just wears it well.
He does. And I'm telling you, he is so great on there. On The Cowboy Way, if you ever get a chance to watch that movie.
I think I've seen it once with you.
Yeah, you're going to like Ernie Hudson in that film. He plays a guy who tells people about a wonderful old black cowboy, is what he says. A wonderful old black cowboy. He goes, a black man like me. And he tries to, and suddenly by the end of it, he's like, he becomes almost a cowboy himself. He's like, come on, boys. He's great. Oh, goodness. He's awesome. I love Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. Well, heck, the original cast, because we mentioned, like, Eddie Murphy was the original idea. And before John Belushi had died, John Belushi was going to be playing Peter Venkman.
So.
And who knows what it would have been. I haven't seen a lot of stuff with John Belushi. So, I mean, it could have been almost a completely different thing. Style.
It would have been completely different. Yeah. That's for certain.
So I'm kind of glad that we got Bill Murray, because Bill Murray, you know, it's because Bill Murray is Bill Murray, you know.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, different, completely different type of character than Belushi for certain.
And Harold Ramis is, you know, it's you don't think about the sense of humor of Harold Ramis, except for, you know, Dan Aykroyd came up with the concepts of all this. And Harold Ramis is what added a lot of the humor into the movies. Yeah. That was his biggest influence, because he was great at this with the funny stuff. And then, but he was able to play Egon as such this straight character. And I got so used to that when you go and you watch Stripes and you see him actually cracking more of a smile and a different character. But even anytime I saw Harold Ramis, what was that movie? It had Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt, As Good As It Gets. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Harold Ramis pops in as the pediatrician in there.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I was like, yeah, it's Egon.
And the thing I love about Harold Ramis is even the stuff that you don't know that he did, that for instance, he directed National Lampoon's Vacation, the original.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, and just to know that the one who wrote it is my all-time favorite of those, and that's John Hughes.
Oh, he wrote it. Yeah.
But to know, so you get two great minds together like that. Then he directed and wrote, I'm talking about
Groundhog Day, didn't he? Groundhog Day, yes.
Mm-hmm. He wrote a song in that. He wrote the song of the it wouldn't. He had his whole thing about Groundhog Day on there. He sung a song about that prediction show, etc. That's him. He wrote that. So Harold Ramis was a lot more of a genius than people realize it. Genius, then I don't mean that. He's a great director.
And him and Brown Doyle Murphy being the two guys on the radio in the morning was awesome.
Yes,
I love it.
Groundhog
Day.
Yeah,
get your booties because it's cold outside.
He's brilliant. He's just a brilliant guy. Yes. He really was.
He was
even on if you ever seen the movie Baby Boom, Harold
Ramis.
Oh
my goodness. I
was the
remember.
Boyfriend. Yeah, he was the boyfriend.
I don't
boyfriend
think I watched the entire movie. Now think about it.
If you ever get a chance again, Harold Ramis plays the boyfriend, kind of the jerk boyfriend, in the sense that he wouldn't stay with Diane Keaton because he decided to keep the baby.
Mm.
So he left her before it. And but he does a great job in it, except that he's so affable, you know, he's acting.
yeah.
But he did a good job in the movie.
Oh, indeed.
Yes.
And then, of course, before we get into Afterlife, we got to mention what I consider to be the canon Ghostbusters 3.
Yes.
The game, the 2011 game, because it was written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis.
Yes.
And the cool thing about the game is it They figured they knew exactly what us as fans wanted from a Ghostbusters experience. And I mean, besides bringing back the entire cast, other than Rick Moranis, who, you know, hasn't done anything in a long time as far as film, he's, you know, putting out some music and stuff, apparently.
Yes.
But we got a chance to fight Gozer as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man again, and even dealt with Evo Shandor back again, having a ghost island and having yet another plan to bring something into the world. Of course, he brings Gozer back, but, you know, he mentions at one point, well, Gozer's now failed me twice.
Yes.
But like, you actually have to fight the ghost of Evo Shandor at one point when he becomes the architect, which I don't want to spoil the ending because I don't know if you've seen the entire game, but getting to have that in there. And the cool thing is I think they acknowledge the canon in Afterlife, because if you look at what Evo Shandor is wearing, and I don't want to say too much on this, it's the same outfit you find in paintings of Evo Shandor in the game.
I saw that.
Actually, I love it. They made it look. It's like, so like the game is definitely, and even I think Dan Aykroyd is saying, so, well, we gave you a Ghostbusters 3. We just made it as a game. But then, of course, we found the announcements of Afterlife, which, is there anything we wanted to throw in before? Because there's been other games. There was a real Ghostbusters arcade game.
There was that
terrible Atari / Nintendo game that was terrible.
I have a book of it's all this Ghostbusters stuff. In fact, I was looking at it sitting right here, a book from DK Books and all.
I need to get a copy of that.
Yeah. Well, if they bring out a new version with all the movie and everything put together, I will give you this copy.
Nice.
But you or Freddie, one of y'all, because, you know, because you're deep in it, too. But probably you, because, you know, you've been with me longer than the Ghostbusters run. So I'm going to take a glance here. But in it, not only that, they showed all the comic books. I used to have all these comic books from the real Ghostbusters cartoon. They were in comic book form. I used to have all those. Well, I can't remember which company. I don't remember if it was Dark Horse or one of those. But our Image or one of them, but they used to have a Ghostbusters comic that was supposed to be canon at the time. And a few years ago, might have been 10 years ago now, or close to that, around the time of the game, they had a comic book that was a little different, but it was called Ghostbusters 3 is what they called it for a time. And it was like a fan way of saying this should have been the Ghostbusters 3 that we always wanted type of thing. And it might have been before the game. And they even had a comic book called Ghostbusters 4. And that was, and they, it started off, it had the Ghostbusters symbol with a, or might have been after that game, but anyway, it had the Ghostbusters symbol, and that Ghostbusters symbol had like four fingers up, all four fingers up. Mm. And it was like, so I mean, I'll have to look it up and read it to you here. I'm going to see if I can find it. But
Is this the Ghostbusters, the ultimate visual history? Is that happened to be it? I found it here. Of course, Walmart.com had, of course, they got one review as a one star. $38.79 somebody's trying to sell this thing for.
Yeah, no, I got it on sale when it first came out, for like $20 at the time. But, it was given a gift to me, but at the time it was on sale for pretty cheap. But I'm sure they'll make another stuff for it. But let me look at here what these Ghostbuster comics are called. It's got a lot of neat stuff in the back here. Got even has pictures of the toys in it.
My goodness.
And we're talking about some that I own, even, and even the original toys of the real Ghostbusters. Here's the comics right here. And they did a pretty good job. I mean, it's a neat book, really is.
And there's even been some recent comics.
IDW.
The IDW's got the rights now.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at, IDW. I couldn't remember the name of it. And I think that's the same company, I'm pretty sure, that brings out the comics I'm loving of Big Trouble in Little China.
Mm.
So, and it shows the game, by the way, that which we were talking. It talks about that. But anyway, it has basically, just like with the Big Trouble in Little China ones, there's basically the Ghostbusters sequels that are in these comic books that pretty much go along with it. So right along with that game, they have comic books from IDW that go along with what would have happened or what would have could have been. And I don't see the official name, and I don't want to keep you waiting. So,
I'm getting to see on Big Bad Toy Store. Apparently, they have a copy of the book for $50. But you can see a lot of the images from inside the book. A lot of neat stuff. Some of the Ectomobile Mark II artwork of some of the designs. Yes. Looks like it was half a taxi cab from some of the drawing I'm looking at.
Yeah, it's pretty neat stuff. like I said, if I ever get a copy of it, if they ever redo this and with some, adding some of the new movie and all stuff in there, you know, you'll be the one that I'll do this to.
I mean, of course, I might. Yeah. If they put out a new one, I might be buying myself a copy of that, too. You never know.
And then we'll give this to the little Fred.
Yeah. My goodness. But yeah, and we were not even going to acknowledge the existence of the 2016 movie. It did not happen.
No. It basically, you know what happened, Jeremy?
That's an alternate timeline.
It's the new 52.
Yeah, there we go.
What's up, Jeremy, and all you lovely listeners out there? This is Tim Nadell from the Saturday Morning Rewind podcast, and I understand you guys are talking about Ghostbusters on this episode, Ghostbusters. I don't know where I'm going to start with that because, you know, people of our age, Jeremy, we're old, by the way. We grew up with Ghostbusters, you know. Me, I think the first time I watched the first movie, I didn't see the first one in the theater. I want to say we had to have watched it at home video, rented it, you know, probably 85, 86. And ever since then, it's been one of my all-time favorite movies. It's definitely in my top 10 for favorite movies of all time. And of course, we got the real Ghostbusters cartoon, which I adored. I mean, that cartoon, watch it today, and that cartoon holds up extremely well. I mean, it's so entertaining still and kind of scary, you know? I remember the kid is a little freaky, but I loved it. And the toys, one of my favorite toys of all time, I'm actually holding it in my hand as we speak, is the Egon with the fright features. I think it came out 87, 88, and you pull his arm down, and his head pops up, mouth pops open, his tie flies up. Always been one of my favorite toys ever since my grandpa bought it for me when I was a kid, I think about 7 or 8. And anyways, Ghostbusters, flawless movie. I rewatched both the movies on Friday to prepare for the new movie. First one is still just as good as I remember it. Of course, second one, not as good, but still enjoyable. And honestly, the new one, I enjoyed it. It was a nice little tribute to the Ghostbusters that we love. So can't wait to hear this episode. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Well, are we ready to review this new movie?
Yes.
Because we already ran an hour, so here we go.
Let's do it.
Want to see a movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
Okay, now I'm going to kick this off, though. Let me find the audio again. We did hear from Lost Boy Eric.
Wonderful.
And he's got a review here. Let's take a listen. He also shares some fun memories, so.
It was the summer of 1984. My parents had left me and my brothers and sisters at our grandparents' home while they had a date night out, just mom and dad going to see this new movie that had come out. After the show, as they drove us back home, they told us about this movie they had seen, one that had featured slime and a green ghost and a huge monster made out of marshmallows at the end of the movie. The next morning, we had our family stereo on, and we heard the first strums of an electric guitar, and our parents said, oh, turn it up. We need to listen to this. And we were soon singing along to the very catchy lyrics. Eventually, our family was able to rent the VHS copy of this movie, and it quickly became a favorite in our home. 5 years later, I was on a scout jamboree trip. The sequel to this movie had come out, and my family went to go see it while I was on this trip. No fair. But I found the novelization of the movie, and I read that all the through the rest of the jamboree. Well, I did eventually get to see that on VHS. Over the years, I got to catch up with that movie also through our local VHS rental store. You know, I watched the real cartoon. One of my first DVD purchases was the box set of both of these movies. Well, I just want to thank the folks who reminded me last night of that kid, 37 years ago, listening to every word of what his parents had seen that night. Ghostbusters Afterlife, it's a definitely gets you in the nostalgia feels. It is fantastic. It hit all the right notes for me. This is nostalgia done right. It's fan service done right. And I'm looking forward to see where they go with it now. I liked it. I loved it. And I cannot wait to see it again.
I can echo that sentiment. Yeah. It did hit all the right buttons. And there are, you know, some critics have been like, oh, there's just too much callbacks. And if you really look at it, and I don't want to spoil anything, but it has a similar plot. The evil plot is pretty much similar to the first film. But you know what? I loved that. It gave them a consistent villain.
In fact,
when we even get to see Shandor's name on the mines, I was like, oh, Evo Shandor did more stuff.
In fact, to kind of quote you all there, I mean, he says, no, you say Ray, I say, and he gone, in the sense that, like Ghostbusters 2, and he gone. I just thought it was great. I loved it. It was more than what I was hoping for in all reality.
Yeah, I mean, it has a different feel from the original because it's not being set in New York.
No.
So, because, I mean, New York is kind of a character almost in the movie. This is what they say with the original. And this one, of course, not having that. But let's run through quick bits of cast.
I didn't want that, though.
Yeah. We have Carrie Coon as Callie or Mom. Paul Rudd as Mr. Gruberson. Finn Wolfhard as Trevor. McKenna Grace as Phoebe. Logan Kim as Podcast. I was afraid I wasn't going to like the character of Podcast, because I felt it was going to be a little bit of a poke. And it is what I find funny about the character is he's running around with movie equipment. He's got a shotgun mic that you would normally hover a bit, because you don't put that in somebody's face. The shotgun mic you put up kind of above, and it picks up sound from a bit of a distance. And even the sound equipment he's carrying on his hip is not something a podcaster would have. That is actually the sound equipment that you would be filming a movie. And it's almost like the sound crew gave him here's stuff that he can have to be carrying around. But he's actually carrying stuff that I have used when I have filmed student films or when I worked sound crew and student films. So to me, that was pretty funny, because I was like, how is this kid getting a hold of movie equipment? Because that's not the stuff you record a podcast on. But it was funny. But then you also have Celeste O'Connor as Lucky, and of course some returning cast. But it also was fun of seeing J.K. Simmons pop up in a role that I will not say.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. But Podcast, actually, I love the character. He was the comic relief. He was the Ray of the group.
He was my favorite.
Yeah, he was just funny. You know, he was just a great character. And that's one of the things that this movie had that the 2016 didn't have, is it was actually funny.
It was. And I didn't feel like anyone was trying to make a point. Like, in the, I don't want to pick on 2016, but I felt like everyone, and I only saw it the once, and no one ever said it. But anyway, this one, it was just for the enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I loved it.
And I loved that they gave Egon's personality to Phoebe. What was fun about it is she was trying to be more social and trying to find ways to make friends. And so she had memorized all these really bad dad jokes.
She was
telling the entire time. And even,
I love that kid.
Even
you know,
telling it to the bad guy. I don't want to mention who the villain is, but
she comes out and tells jokes. I loved that kid because I felt like she was honestly, she felt like one of my nieces or something. I felt like I knew her. I felt like she was a niece of mine. I got several nieces. She felt like one of my nieces or something. And I was like, man, I love that kid.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah, what a great actress.
She did great because she was like a little Egon. And oh my goodness, they went for all the feels because you pretty early on, you kind of see what's going on with her, that she needs a little help to put her on the right path. And you kind of know who's doing it. And you're just like, every time something would happen, I got the feels every time. I was like, Grandpa, you know, every time. Now, I do have a couple of minor bones to pick with the movie, because I have to be fair. And, you know, mainly this is stuff just done because we needed some excuse for story and for the nostalgia. So you needed to have, I guess, the original Ghostbusters to kind of be split up. So it's even more an impact when they come back. But when I love the fact that they acknowledge something that's in the game. If you listen to the answering machine, somebody calls the Ghostbusters line trying to get a hold of Ray's occult books. indicating that the old phone number was still, Ray still owned that phone number and was still using it, and it became the phone number for Ray's Occult Books. So she actually gets the phone number off of the YouTube watching their old ad and gets a hold of Ray at his occult bookstore, which is the only acknowledgement we get from Ghostbusters 2. Yeah, that's the only bit of part 2 we really get to acknowledge. Although Jason Reitman has says, no, 2 is definitely still canon. We just didn't really need to use it much. But here's what bugs me. Throughout their history, Rey and Egon have been kind of on the same page. They know about Evo Shandor and what he's capable of. How is it if Egon is telling them about Shandor making a mine and going to bring about the end of the world out in Oklahoma that Rey doesn't believe him? That made no sense to me, but that was kind of an important thing because they made it, you know, part of the story, but it's part of the story that doesn't make sense. So that bugged me. The other thing that bugs me is you have this great big finale where you have this massive trap catching all kinds of ghosts. And there is a certain ghost who, because of plot and because we would, and also because we would hate to have seen it happen, there's one ghost that, despite all the power of the trap, is not getting pulled in. And I sat there, I was like, oh no, what are they going to do about? And I, you know, I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to spoil anything. But, you know, it didn't happen. And I'm glad nothing happened. But I was like, how did nothing happen? If you have that much power pulling all these spirits out of the sky and all this stuff in, how did he not get affected? But plot.
I already caught it. Because in the beginning of it, there was a stuff that was already set up. He kind of knew what he was getting was going to happen to him. Yeah. He had it set. But anyway, that's part of the plot. That's why you need to see it more than once. I already realized I got to see it again because there's a couple things that were missed. But he actually has it set that way. Anyway,
well, he wasn't standing close. I guess the only thing you get is that he must have been far enough away because.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, he had it set up. Anyway, we can't talk about it.
I bet people have already figured it out if they haven't seen it.
we're trying to be careful here.
I really am.
Anyway, They have it. That's why some movies are deep thinkers, if you want to call it that. And you had to see more than once, but I don't know about the theater, but I will see it, of course, more than once.
Heck yeah. You better believe I'm buying that Blu-ray.
Oh, heaven's sake. I'm going to probably, cause I don't have them on Blu-ray yet. The original two.
Oh brother, you got to get them.
Well, I got them on DVD. So what I will do.
Plus you got access to my Vudu account. So
yes. So eventually I will get them all together on, I may even get 4K because I now have the ability to watch
you
that.
You do. You do. Although you can watch 4K off that digital as well.
Oh, that's true.
I believe so. Yeah, I think so. Or at least the Ultra HD. I don't know.
Sure.
Either way, it should look pretty good on your nice TV.
But whenever this one comes out, they'll probably have a special set, and that's what I'll get.
Yeah, you know? You'll probably get all four movies, though.
Well, if that's how it is, and there'll be something I can give away as a present.
you can make a Frisbee out of the disc.
I don't need to do that. I will say this, as a nice thing to that film, I will say this. It was a nice attempt, and at least we have fans who believe it's good to try new things. There you go. That's a nice way to say that.
Yeah. Although that movie doesn't exist. Back onto Afterlife, which I didn't understand why it was titled Afterlife until I realized what was happening after that first scene. And especially when they come to the house and I realized that that house is haunted. I was like, somebody's having an afterlife right here. And that afterlife is it's crucial. And I loved it. The way they would do things with lights coming on to show Phoebe the way to different things. And also a little bit of almost an accidental Pixar nod with the lamp that would move around and look at different things and show different things.
It was very, that I thought was cute.
That was adorable. I loved it.
And you know, it also reminded me of Ghostbusters 2 a little bit. Remember when they had the toaster and everything jumping around?
Yes.
It reminded me of that in the sense that to see an appliance almost being alive in a sense. And I was like, oh. And it also reminded me a little bit of, not that this is the same thing, but it reminded me a little bit of Pixar with their little lamp.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It was totally Pixar.
Yeah.
By accident.
I like it.
By accident, I think. Yeah.
Exactly. I liked it, though. It was really cute.
Yep. And of course, we got our new little fun ghost muncher. I kind of wanted Slimer to make an appearance just for fun.
Me too.
But we got Muncher. Muncher was a fun ghost and a great chase scene, chasing Muncher all around town.
Oh, man, that was one thing I really enjoyed, too. Of course, the great thing, too, is now with computer effects, things are so easy for them. I say easy. I don't mean easy in the sense that they don't have to work, because they do have to work to make these special effects happen, but not near the effects. The hard work they had to do back in the day. I mean, my goodness, back in the day, they had to have stop motion. They had to have puppetry. They had to take all that away with green screen and everything else. Man, nowadays, that's a cinch compared to the way it used to be.
Yeah. It takes a lot to make it look good on a computer. And,
oh, yeah.
And even the stuff they can do now with putting people's faces in the right places.
Oh,
and that's
yeah.
all I'm going to say about that. But there is a guy, Bob Gunton, who is credited as the Ghost Farmer. And I bet you know what that means. Because they had to have somebody there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Because their only ghost farmer I remember is a dirt farmer.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I can't say some of these things, but you know, what I was going to say was they did do a truly good job. When you have memory scenes, I like some of the memory scenes where they try to have memory scenes of some people who are no longer with us, and they do a good job with that. Because you have to have people look alike.
Yeah.
And so I thought they did a good job with that. Very good job.
And definitely on this one, there's a mid-roll credit scene and a final end credits.
Yes,
stay until the very, 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 very end, because they do set things up to be like, oh, are we going to get another movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will, because I was already hearing that this made a lot of money for being, you know, trying to come back from a pandemic. This had a very successful weekend.
I'm not surprised at all.
So it's making money out there, and it will continue to make money, especially because, you know, the soundtrack. What was the guy's name? Robert Simonson. Oh, my goodness. He pulled inspiration and pulled some music directly from the original movie. I forgot the guy who did the composing on the original movie, but he went and took some of his cues and brought them back around and reused some of his cues in his score for Afterlife, which really brought back all the feels. In case you weren't having enough of the feels,
yes,
you were getting lots of the feels. And I am not surprised to see people on Facebook that were saying that with some stuff that happens by the end, that there's a few tears. I'm not surprised,
yeah,
because there was some stuff that I can understand.
To the composer, I don't remember his name. You said it, but I don't remember. But boy, what a great job he did, because one thing he did that was brilliant in this film was that he would use some of the music slightly, but in the background, you'd hear this little bit, da-da-da-da, and this really barely, and then, and then it suddenly, before long, he'd bring it out. You're like, yes,
yeah.
But he was good, because he'd give you a hint, knowing that it would start bringing back your emotions, and then somewhere,
all right, careful about copyright humming there.
Oh yeah, he's a brilliant composer, because he knows that you don't give him everything right away.
Don't do it right away.
You wait, you hint it. You're like a fisherman, bring in that hook.
Yep. Couple special things though to look for: Stella Ackroyd as a deputy Medjuck. I don't know how they didn't say her name, but she pops up. Also, the Disney connection: Josh Gad was the voice of Muncher.
Oh, that's who it was.
Yes.
Oh, neat.
And somebody named Sarah Natto-Cheney is the voice of the mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Men, which totally stole the show for a while.
They here's the thing. You and I talked about this on the way home, but they reminded me like the scenes from Gremlins.
Yes, they were like Gremlins.
And they were so cute. You didn't want anything bad to happen to any of them. You're like, oh, I loved them.
They were definitely ornery little things.
Oh, yeah, that's why I said Gremlins.
Yeah, they were.
He loved them. And I'm telling you, Paul Rudd, he's just so great. I love that guy.
He's the sexiest man alive this year.
Yeah, that's what they say. And Afterlife, apparently, according to this movie. Afterlife, you know.
Might I say he's a local from Overland Park, Kansas?
Yes, he most certainly is.
Yes, sir. So we love Paul Rudd around here. He's one of us. Even though he's from Kansas, but that's, you know, we'll take it.
Well, it's still our area.
It's still our area. I can get to his hometown in 20 minutes, you know.
I said this before, I'm sure, but the first time I knew that he was from around here, because he said from Kansas City and all that, because whenever I saw him on a talk show in 1995, he was talking about, or no, 1994, he was talking about Clueless. Life, I don't remember.
I think Clueless, Clueless would have been about that time.
Yeah, he said Clueless, and he said something about being from Kansas City. And they said, whereabouts, Casey? I grew up in Independence. He says about Independence. I'm like, Independence?
Really?
Huh?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's what he said at the time anyway. And so he was probably just talking about the whole area.
Yeah.
But that's what he had said.
That's kind of generally how we work, you know?
Yeah, well, when you say Kansas City, you're talking about Clay Como, Lee Summit.
We go into those suburbs and everything. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if y'all even remember this, but back in 1989, again, if you go back to that time, I guess 88 when it came out, the song Kokomo came out.
Yeah. And then we had a local parody from a local radio station, the Clay Como.
Down in Clay Como.
Which is actually where the church is at.
And today I was in Clay Como, and they were celebrating the 75th anniversary of Clay Como today. So
it all comes together.
It all fits.
But overall, we definitely recommend this movie. You gotta go and go more than once.
That's right.
You're gonna love it. You're gonna have a good time. There is a little bit more innuendo, I think, towards at one point of it than was in the original movie, or maybe, I don't know.
Well, I just want to definitely
in
the
there.
Movie.
So yeah, that's definitely in there. There's really not much language. There was a little bit of language.
No, yeah, a little. But, I would say there's the innuendo in the first one. It's like when they're there. So I don't know if it's more than. Or not,
but it's there.
It's there. It kind of fits with the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not as detailed, I think, as one particular scene in the original Ghostbusters.
But
there is enough conversation because, I mean, we all know from the first film the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Might have had a bit more friendly relationship than what was shown on screen. And they kind of get in and mention that. And so there's some conversation.
That's what Miranda says.
Yeah. So, yeah. And of course, Lewis would brag about it. You know, hey,
of course. Hey,
one time I was a dog and they helped me. Yep. But anyways, we really got to wrap this up.
Sure.
So, of course. Oh, and I forgot to bring out my list of notes, but I just want to remind everybody to visit neverlandpodcast.com. And look there in the middle of the screen. You'll find a link for my podcast reviews. If you happen to have a podcast, you click in there, and for a low yearly fee, you can get all your reviews sent right to your email from all over the world. So you can get a look at all your emails and even set things up to have some reviews automatically appear on your website. We, of course, also want to thank Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, Karen Kennedy, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Radio Show for helping me out with my sounders. And Flack, you heard Ricky Pope now has fixed my voice problem that I had on our movie review bumper. And of course, follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast. We have, of course, have two Facebook groups, a group and a fan page. If you go to Neverland Podcast, also make sure go to our Patreon. We really survive by Patreon, so please come to Patreon and help us out, because I give the show to you for free, but it does cost me quite a bit of money. And if you'd like to help me out for as little as a dollar a month, and you know what happens when you contribute, you get to hear the show without the commercials there at the beginning, and I might start shoving commercials right in the middle just to annoy you, but you can get this ad free. You get your own RSS link, and you also get some special stuff that maybe I edit out of the show that you get to see. Plus, also occasionally some videos when I interview people. Occasionally, I do get some video of that. So, yes, come and join Patreon and get a lot of nice little fun perks. Plus, like I said, it helps me out. But as we have to say at the end of every show, get lost in an adventure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.